You are listening to a University of North Carolina Kidney Center podcast. I'm Dr. Ronald Falk, the director of the Kidney Center. Our goal is to help you better understand kidney disease. Today, we'll be discussing minimal change disease with Connie, whose child has this disease. Welcome, Connie.
Thank you for talking with me today. Could you please explain to me what is minimal change disease?
Minimal change disease is a form of what is known as the nephrotic syndrome, where patients leak protein into their urine, resulting in a low amount of protein in the blood, or a low serum albumin, and also a high cholesterol. Because protein is being lost out of the blood into the urine, patients typically get a lot of swelling, especially around their legs, feet, and eyes. Minimal change disease is the most common form of the nephrotic syndrome in children.
What causes minimal change disease?
Unfortunately, we really don't know what causes it. When you take a kidney biopsy and look at the results of that biopsy under a microscope, you hardly see any alterations to the glomerular architecture. Remember that you have about a million and a half of these little filters called glomeruli that filter blood, getting rid of toxins and water. Minimal change disease is a disease that alters the final barrier to filtration of those toxins and water with a group of cells called epithelial cells. For some reason, these cells are damaged, allowing protein that's supposed to stay in the blood compartment to go into the urine. What actually makes these epithelial cells, or podocytes, almost fuse is unclear. We think that it may be due to something coming from circulating lymphocytes, but the sad truth is we really don't know.
Other than the swelling you talked about, what are the most common symptoms? Can these change over time?
So the most common thing that I'm sure you've recognized with your own child is swelling of the feet and ankles, edema as it's known, and that's by far and away the most common problem. The problem of losing too much protein in the urine is also results in infections, as you know, and the laboratory findings that I talked about earlier, high serum cholesterol and low serum protein. The high cholesterol is not a consequence of what your child is eating. It's just that your child's liver is making up for the loss of serum protein in making too much cholesterol. The good news about minimal change disease is that with treatment, the whole process can be brought under control. And in fact, in some children, the disease can go away all by itself.
What treatments are most effective?
Prednisone, or glucocorticoids, that's the general term, is by far and away still the most effective therapy. Children who are young, under the age of 16, usually can go into remission within 6 to 8 weeks. Adults with this disease can take a longer time to go into remission. Unfortunately, the problem with minimal change disease is that 2/3 of children relapse once the disease has gone into remission. And so it's the frequency of the relapse that turns out to be the most problematic. Prednisone therapy is effective for most of these relapses, but over the course of time, depending on how many relapses one has, then other forms of therapy may be needed, including drugs such as cyclosporin or other drugs, including cyclophosphamide. But for the most part, prednisone therapy is most effective.
Will the nephrotic syndrome go away after treatment?
Once the prednisone results in the loss of protein in the urine, or said better, the protein going into the urine goes away. In the blood, the serum albumin goes right back up and the cholesterol comes down. And the whole thing can happen incredibly quickly. As you know, the disease can come on quickly, and the remission process itself can also be quite quick. The problem is maintaining the remission.
What steps can I take to make sure my daughter stays as healthy as possible? And do you have any suggestions on diet or lifestyle modifications?
Well, I think usual preventive measures to avoid infections are most useful. Make sure your daughter has all the necessary vaccinations, especially when they're in remission. The more problematic question that you've asked, the one that is really difficult to deal with, is suggestions on diet or lifestyle modification. Prednisone makes everybody want to eat and eat everything, including this table if it's not tied down. It's just incredibly difficult to tell your daughter to avoid carbohydrates or other fattening foods. One of our main worries with prednisone therapy is the gain of a tremendous amount of weight, not fluid weight, but real fat that is not nicely distributed. It can be in the back of the neck. It can make those chubby cheeks that you have seen. And unfortunately, even if the disease goes into remission, the consequences of gain of weight with prednisone turns out to be a longer problem. So lifestyle modifications and diet, I would encourage your daughter to remain active, to try to maintain as normal of a lifestyle as absolutely possible, to avoid infections or those people who she's around that may have an infection. You need to have her stay away from those people, and to try a diet that does not rely on carbohydrates, on sodas, on ice cream, but has plenty of fruits and vegetables and meat or other sources of protein that can help avoid protein calorie malnutrition.
I've heard this disease can lead to another disease called FSGS. Why does this happen, and does it happen often?
I don't think that minimal change disease necessarily leads to FSGS. Rather, I think that focal segmental glomerulosclerosis is undiagnosed in the population. Initially, kidney biopsies aren't performed, and the response to prednisone is how we know whether or not a patient has minimal change disease or not. If patients, and in your daughter's case, she's responded to prednisone, so I don't believe she has focal segmental sclerosis, but if she were treatment resistant, I would worry that we missed focal segmental glomerulosclerosis on the kidney biopsy. There are other investigators, however, who really believe that minimal change and focal sclerosis are part of one large spectrum. I think the jury is out on this issue. So how would it happen if it did happen? One possibility is a lot of loss of protein in the urine going through the kidney could cause some degree of kidney dysfunction. But in reality, I think these are largely different diseases. And since your daughter has been so prednisone responsive, I actually think that the worry of focal segmental glomerulosclerosis is unwarranted at this time.
What are the chances of minimal change disease coming back in a transplanted kidney?
Fortunately, the vast majority of people with minimal change disease never have end-stage kidney disease, never need dialysis, and never need a transplant. In fact, if somebody has minimal change disease that leads to end-stage kidney disease, I would think they probably had focal sclerosis instead of minimal change disease. So in the first place, the chances that your daughter is going to have end-stage kidney disease and need a transplant is very remote. If the disease process was really focal sclerosis, then focal sclerosis does, unfortunately, come back in the transplanted kidney in about 25% of time.
Thank you very much for discussing this disease with me.
You're most welcome. I hope this has been helpful for you and for our listeners.